This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We're going to be talking with John Blank coming up about 9:15. Of course, John, your shelter insurance agent in Litchfield, and he runs the great Cleats for Kids program, and it continues to just flourish and thrive in the area. And John's got a little display here of his, I guess, selection, if you will, some very slick-looking shoes. So we will talk to John Blank about Cleats for Kids coming up in just a moment. Right now, we want to begin the show talking girls regional basketball, and joining us on the phone right now is Carletonville head coach Darren Deneve. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. I can't hear you on my phone.
Well, I think Jen's going to get
it. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? The beauty of live radio right now is Jennifer's going to get a button pushed around, and hopefully you'll be hearing me just about right now, potentially.
Hello.
No? Can you hear me, Darren?
I can.
Okay, good deal. Now we're set to go.
All right.
All right. Darren, thank you for joining us, and we'll get to the postseason in just a moment, but let's look back at Thursday night. What a fun night of basketball, and in a lot of ways, that's what high school sports is about.
Yes, it was a good night. You know, we had an important game with Greenville, and both teams played hard, and you know, obviously it was senior night, kind of special, and we were just pretty fortunate to be able to make just enough baskets there in the fourth quarter to hold them off.
And Jill Staten, she's made some big shots for you over her time just a sophomore, but that three she hit to put you up for good, that was a big one.
Oh, definitely. And she you know, she just has been really playing well in bigger games for us. And you know, not only does she hit the big shots, but she's been handling the ball a lot better in big games, especially. Like, I think in the county championship game, I don't think she had a turnover. I think she just maybe had one against Greenville on Thursday, and that's a huge improvement for her. And you know, we're definitely excited about the level of play she's been bringing.
And the elusive conference championship for Carletonville girls basketball, and what a tough, deep league. So when you can get a part of a conference title, it means you had a fantastic year. But Darren, at the start of the year, did you think 26-3 was going to be the record?
I don't know. Not really. We don't really look at our schedule too much and, like, you know, try to predict anything. I will say that we thought we could compete with anyone on our schedule. I don't know that we thought we would, you know, go 26-3. That's a bit of a surprise, but it's not like we looked at anybody on our schedule and said, hey, that's a sure loss. And so, I don't know, we're excited about it. We try not to look at it too much, just, you know, one of the old cliches or whatever. We just try to win the next one.
And your defense has long been the staple of your program, and I know the Greenville folks, as they walked out of the gym on Thursday, they were kind of left just kind of shaking their heads in disbelief. They couldn't really comprehend that their offense got shut down like it did. Talk a little bit about your defensive effort Thursday night, but just kind of over the course of the season as a whole. That's where your guys' bread is buttered.
It is. You know, it's one of these things where it's a combination of athleticism and determination. You know, occasionally you'll see or hear coaches talk about how, you know, it just takes great heart to play defense, and boy, it really does take some great heart and determination to play defense. But the truth of the matter is you need some athletes if you want to be a really good defensive team, too. And so we're blessed with some athleticism. My assistant coaches are both really good, Renee Young and John Reels, at teaching our defensive principles. And this is something that we take some pride in.
And as you look at the postseason here, obviously you guys are going to be hosting a regional quarterfinals on Monday. You guys have a bye into the semifinals. You'll get the winner between Hillsborough and North Mac. But as you kind of look at your seed and your draw, what are your thoughts?
I think it's really tough. so, you know, you go 26-3, and then the most likely opponent in your very first game in the postseason is one of the teams that beat you. And so, it's just, I don't know. Hillsborough has been playing really well, obviously. They beat Southwestern, and they've beaten Painter recently. They beat us early in the season. As you know, Coach Teakin does a terrific job. And so we're focused definitely on that very first game. You know, Petersburg Porta has had a fantastic season. I watched them one time, and they've got some athletes. They've got three girls that can really score, and then they got a fourth girl that is just a tremendous defensive player, and they've got some other girls in supporting roles as well, and they're well coached. And so it's whoever wins our regional is going to earn it.
And obviously last year you guys lost your first regional game. I don't suspect that's been anything that's really been on the mind of the current group of kids, but it will be good, I would imagine, to get back in the postseason flow on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I think our girls are confident. They were upset that week after we lost to both Carrollton and Hillsborough. They didn't think we played our best. But, you know, it was early in the season, and, you know, since then we've just sort of steadily improved. And it's a very competitive group. They don't like to lose, and they're going to try to do what it takes to avoid it. And so, you know, we know we've got to have a battle starting Wednesday, and but I think our girls will be ready for the challenge.
Each season brings a different type of adversity. You never know what you're going to get into each given year. But you go 26-3, but it wasn't without some bumps along the way. You guys have really battled injuries throughout the year.
We've been battling injuries and illness, and you know, we're not super deep. Our varsity rotation of girls that have been getting significant minutes has pretty much been seven girls most of the season. And when you're only playing seven and you have an injury or two, it makes some games difficult. We had a few games here recently where we mostly played five girls in the games, but by the same token, the other girls that we have in our program, you know, they've been really helping us in practice and they've been super supportive during games, and so it's a team effort. And you know, we're pleased that we're able to kind of find our way through it, and it appears as though we're about as healthy as we can be heading into this week, and so I guess that's all you can ask.
So Carlinville, co-champions with Greenville, Hillsborough, and Pena. I don't suspect you'll be getting any free meals in Bond County anytime soon, Darren, but you go to Hillsborough or Pena, you might get something on the house.
I suppose. I'm sure they were Cavalier fans on Thursday night. We'll see. Coach Teakin and I exchanged a couple of funny texts on Thursday night after the game. And, you know, it's all these coaches are great coaches. And, you know, I think we all realize that the conference is pretty strong and that we make each other better. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think all of us are pretty proud of the entire league.
Sounds good. Darren, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and we'll see you next week. Best of luck.
Thank you, Tim.
Darren Deneve, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, as they will be hosting the 2A regional beginning Monday night with quarterfinal action at 6, Litchfield against Pittsfield, quarterfinal number 2 at 7:30, Hillsborough against North Mac. Both games will be live on WUSMI FM 106, and then we will have coverage from the 1A Nokomis regional with Lincolnwood taking on Sandoval. That broadcast about 9 o'clock Monday night. All three games on FM 106 and streaming online at WUSMIRadio.com. We need to get to a break. Still on the way this hour, we'll catch up with Hillsborough head coach Brett Teakin, and also Greenville coach Colin Dothager, both on the way here on Sports Saturday. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with John Blank about cleats for kids when Sports Saturday returns following these messages. Thank you so much. In studio here with Sean Balint. Happy to have Sean part of WSMI staff here moving forward. And very happy to have in studio with us John Blank and Christy Blank with Shelter Insurance on State Street in Litchfield. And as my phone falls out of my pocket, John, of course, you're one of our wonderful basketball sponsors. You bring us the Shelter Insurance halftime show each and every game, so we're very grateful for that. But what you have done here with this cleats for kids, this is as good of a thing as anybody can do. And I guess we'll just start off by, tell us exactly what it is.
Well, it is exactly what it says. It's cleats for kids. Basically, what we do as an organization is people anonymously just bring us in cleats, indoor, outdoor soccer, baseball, softball, track. We even have some wrestling shoes in there. This year, we've even added We've even added basketball, and you know, it basically, if they're tennis shoes and they're in good shape and you want to get rid of them, you know, if somebody else can get some use out of them, you know, feel free to bring them into the office, and we're going to do our darndest to find somebody that can use them. And that's what we've done. We've tried to, you know, no obligation, come on in, look and give me a call, and we'll go back to the back of the office and look and see if we can find something. And I tell you what, we have, you know, just about every size, we've got it. Just about every brand, we got it. You know, as you see here, I brought a few here in this morning. I mean, almost everything, well, everything you see here is either Nike or Under Armour. They're great brands. They're great shape. As a matter of fact, we had a gentleman bring in a pair of Nike, baseball, spikes last week. And, gentleman, I couldn't believe he bought them in. He says, I bought them at the store. They were getting rid of them, and I looked at the shoes, and they were brand new. Hmm. And so I just happened to know a family that thought, well, they may possibly be able to use these, and so I contacted a family and said, hey, you know, do we have shoes for this spring and for baseball? Not yet. And I'm like, here you go. And so they got a really awesome pair. I mean, in my opinion, Tim, probably $100 to $120 pair of Nike Air. I have no idea what they call them, you know, but Nike Air metal baseball spikes, and they were fantastic. And you know, like I said, they were literally brand new.
And the shoe that you've got displayed here in studio, I mean, they look like they could have just come out of the box.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the basketball shoes that I have here, I mean, you look at them, I mean, they're literally, there's no dirt on them whatsoever. I mean, these shoes, they come off of a girl who played basketball last year. So, you know, at one of the local schools, and I mean, I know the family, and it's funny because I get a lot of that. Like at the end of basketball season, I get people just bring you a trash bag full of shoes and say, here you go. My girls wanted to donate their shoes to your program. And that's what we've been getting. And the response to this has been outstanding. And I can't even believe it.
And Sean, you know how this goes. Sometimes when you get a new pair of shoes, the worst part about the new pair of shoes is you got to break them in. But in this situation, they're already broke in.
That's a beautiful thing. I mean, that growing pains of a shoe, you don't have to go through that.
And, John, talk a little bit about, I guess, the concept for this. Where did you hear about this?
Well, we opened the office last year in January in 2018, and we went to some training out in Columbia, Missouri, where Shelter Insurance is their home offices. And one of the things that we talked about in class was you got to have a gimmick, you got to have a reason for people to come into your office. And whenever you take over a book of business, I mean, you already have customers. Well, in my case, I didn't have any. I started a scratch agency. I had zero customers back in January of 2018. I had nobody that, unless they either knew me or, you know, they were wanting to do something different as far as their insurance, they had no idea that I even existed. And I still every once in a while I'll get a call and people will say, I didn't even know you were there. Well, I thought to myself, what would be a good way for people to get into my office? And I thought to myself, if I tried something like this, let's just see what would happen. And that's really where it came from and what has happened to it, because that's how it started. I just basically got a gimmick and thought to myself, hey, listen, let's put some shoes in here. And, you know, I can assure you, if you bring shoes, there's a really good chance I'm going to ask you, hey, how are you as far as your auto, home, or your life insurance? And if you're coming in to buy to grab a pair of shoes, guess what? There's probably a good chance that you're going to be asked, hey, where are you at on your auto, your home, or your life insurance? Now, that's just pretty much it. That's all I ask. If someone says, hey, listen, let's talk about something, then we talk about it. If someone says, no, I'm good, then I just thank him for coming in. And to me, it's just a thought that, hey, listen, these people, it's that seed that I'm planting in their mind.
And I would sure think that even if, a person doesn't sign up for insurance with you that day, when they are looking for insurance, you're going to be in the front of their mind because of this program.
Absolutely, yeah. They, you know, people tend to do business with people who want to give back. And that's what we're trying to do. That's really one of the big things, with us. I mean, you know, being able to sponsor the halftime show, you know, through WSMI, you know, doing the cleats for kids, you know, we bought footballs for the cheerleaders for the football program this year. We're doing rally rags, for the basketball program. We did those. We just want people in Litchfield and in Macoupin County and Montgomery County, you know, we want people in those schools to know, hey, listen, we're not only here to take care of your insurance needs, and I'm telling you, we'll give you the best service we can. But we're also here for the community as well.
Do you have a rough number of the number of cleats that you have gotten out there?
I would say we've probably placed anywhere from 100 to 150 pairs of cleats. But you know, we probably have in the neighborhood of 200, that are still on the shelves there at the office. And like I said, we have everything. You know, metal spikes for baseball. We have the regular molded cleats for baseball, you know, everything. We have everything. And that's kind of a neat thing. What we're going to do is next weekend, next Saturday morning, we're gonna listen to, WSMI Sports Saturday Morning from our office. And what we're going to do is from 9 to 12 next Saturday morning, if you want to come in, and look for a pair of shoes for your child for, I mean, basically, you know, Lord knows when, you know, we're in the end of basketball season. So, you know, not far behind, we're going to have, baseball, softball, track, and soccer. They're coming, and they're coming quickly. You know, as a former coach, I know that, you know, 1st of March, man, all the coaches are ready to go. So, you know, next Saturday, what we're going to do from 9 to 12, we're going to have, an open house, and come on in. And if you want shoes, come get them. They're yours.
And I guess I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this. Is there a financial line that you have for this, or is it everybody, anybody and everybody is welcome to come and look at these shoes?
Absolutely. Anybody, everybody. Well, I've had people from as far away as Greenville come up, and she didn't, they happened to be passing through, heard about the program, and she's like, I brought you like four pairs of cleats and I need three. And, so that's what we did. We took care, you know, we took in her, the cleats that were too small, and we gave her cleats that fit. So that's what we did. That's what we do.
There's so many great aspects to this, but I think the simplest one is shoes are so dang expensive now.
Yes.
Kids grow so fast that, you know, you drop a couple $100 in a pair of shoes and they get to wear them for one season. So this is a good way to kind of just keep the circle moving.
Well, it's funny you say that. This pair of indoor soccer cleats right here that I'm holding up, they look brand new.
They do.
Because they are. The young lady that brought them in to me, she said, I bought these for my son for indoor soccer, and he wore them for two games, and he, by the time of the end of the second game, he complained so much that they were too small. She says, I don't know what to do. And I said, I'll make you a deal. You give me these, and I'll give you a pair that'll fit him. And that's what we've done. We just switched them out. I literally had a pair that were, you know, the same brand, same Nikes. They were perfect. They fit the child. And you know, now that he's going to be able to play his next 5, 6, 7 games of indoor soccer pain free instead of, you know, come home with blisters.
That is fantastic. Talking with John Blank here, Cleats for Kids, going to have that big event next Saturday from 9 to 12. Make sure you stop by his office on State Street in Litchfield. And, John, of course, your business based in Litchfield, but you got the Gillespie hat on right now.
Yes, sir.
You bleed that minor orange and black, my friend. And this was a special year for Gillespie. I think it was the 100th year for football.
Yes.
And basketball.
Yes, I believe it was. It's kind of neat that the 100 years – for both football and basketball, you know, happened in the same year. It's really awesome. I know that, the boys basketball team is going to have a big event, I believe, here coming in the next, week or two. Football, of course, had their neat, event honoring, Coach DeBrino. I know the girls did it in a, a program a couple weeks ago honoring the I believe it was 40 years of Gillespie girls basketball. So, yeah, we've done a lot of good stuff, and 11 o'clock this morning we're going to lace them up and do it again against Triad.
There
so.
You go. And of course you do the PA.
Yes.
The football and the basketball. So when you go to a Gillespie home game, you hear the melodious stylings of one John Blank on the microphone.
Yeah, that's I'm not sure about melodious, but it is a lot of fun. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I do enjoy doing it.
Well, John, we always enjoy catching up with you, and this is, once again, just a wonderful program that you have started here at your shelter insurance office on State Street in Litchfield. And I guess, again, before we let you go, just the best way for people to either donate shoes, pick up shoes, and again, talk about the event next week.
Okay. All you got to do is, first of all, there's somebody in our office from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every single day. You're more than welcome to give us a call and let us know what you're looking for, and maybe we can possibly, grab a couple of examples out for you. That happened earlier this week. You can always, you can message us on Facebook, Shelter Insurance John Blank Agency. Shoot me an email, jblank@shelterinsurance.com, or just come by the office, like I said, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Friday, or give us a call at the office, 217-313-2555. Once again, 217-313-2555. Come by the office, let us know what you got, and if you want to bring shoes by, awesome. If you want to come by and get shoes, that's even better, because that's what we're here for. Next Saturday we're going to be in the office from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, and getting ready for all these young kids for this spring sports season. Whether it's high school sports or whether it's junior high and little league that are going to be getting ready to suit them up as well, because you know as well as I do, Tim, April 1st is normally whenever they start practicing, and April 1st is going to be here pretty quickly.
Right around the corner. John Blank, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Keep up the good work with Cleats for Kids.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate your work as well.
Sports Saturday back in a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tim Mize with Sean Bolent. Sean, it's great to have you here on the program. We hope to make this a regular occurrence. And, of course, I think pretty much everyone is familiar with the name Sean Blint and certainly the voice. But while we have a few minutes here, as we get contact with Brett Teakin, go ahead, just briefly give us a little kind of synopsis of you.
Synopsis of me. Let's see. I grew up Clinton County, ski country, if you will. Went to Westland High School. For those who remember that 1990 state championship Class A team, I was a senior when those kids were freshmen. Wrote for the Breeze Journal in Trenton Sun when I was in high school, and told little stories about the Westland Warriors. So that's where I grew up. Went to Alton for college and did my first radio gig in Taylorville. Moved on to Maryland for a while. Had one of those no compete contracts. Yeah, Taylorville prevented me from working in Springfield, Decatur, or whatever. Went to Maryland, and then got on this little train, the Springfield to St. Louis Express, and went back and forth like four times over 20 years before wrapping up my time in Springfield, I think, here about a month ago.
All right.
So
you can go autopilot from Springfield to St. Louis, no trouble.
Oh, my word. 55, I could write a book on 55, like every little landmark, and people ask me where I'm from or where I live. I just say I-55.
There you go. It just makes it simple.
Yeah.
I think Brett Teakin could probably get the Highland with his eyes closed. He's been there so many times over the years, and Coach Teakin joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, postseason time upon us once again, and Teak, it's been an interesting year for the Lady Toppers. Just kind of your thoughts on the season just completed, regular season-wise.
I'm pretty pleased with where we've ended up. We got off to a rough start with the lack of experience coming back. I kind of thought we might struggle a little bit early, but we've improved and really been playing some of our best basketball here in the last 2 weeks, and looking forward to regionals.
When I saw you on Monday night, the chances for a conference championship were there, but seemed a little bit bleak. But lo and behold, Carletonville beats Greenville. You take care of business against Southwestern, and you get your back-to-back conference championship. Just kind of talk about, there really has to be a real sense of pride for this group, Coach, to get a conference title.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know the Journal didn't do one this year, but if there had been a basketball preview, I don't even know if we would have been looked at as possibly being the top half of our conference. And the girls really worked hard, and we got off to a good start in conference and had a shot. In the last 2 weeks, we were able to beat Pena and Piasol. And like I said, Carlinville beat Greenville. And we end up with a four-way tie, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
That is pretty rare to get four teams tied at 7-2. And I would suspect, and I know that you guys were big Carlinville fans that night. And with that game starting early, did you guys know by the time your game got to the second half what had happened?
Yeah, we found out at halftime that Carlinville had defeated Greenville, and I think it gave us a little extra spark. We played a lot better in the second half than we did in the first half, which that shouldn't have mattered because we had to win anyway. But we came out in the second half and really played well, especially on the defensive end, and was able to hold Piasol down and get some easy buckets off of defense and able to hold them off at the end. So, yeah, it was kind of an interesting evening.
And we've talked about this throughout the year. You guys are just a different type of team this year. You were so guard-oriented, perimeter-focused last year. This year, the strength of your club is on the inside with Nakia Harston and Claire Tester. And, man, they have had, both of them, fantastic junior seasons.
Yeah, they sure have. Nakia is averaging a double-double on the season. And Claire is right at 10 points, about seven rebounds a game. And it is a completely different team than what we've had last year. I was just looking at some stats and stuff. And just, I mean, we've got some girls that can shoot the three, but nothing like we had last year and stuff whenever you look at the numbers. But we've had to kind of adjust and play a little different style.
And as the year's gone along, some of your underclassmen have started to get more and more varsity minutes.
Yeah, the underclassman is getting the most is Lainey Rupert. She's a freshman, and she's the first player off the bench. She started a few games here late in the season for us also, and she brings some more guard play and a good shooter from the perimeter that we can add in and mix things in a little bit more with and stuff. And covered some of the junior guards that didn't get playing time last year have not only started for us but also got important minutes and Vanessa Compton and Maddie Rupert. So the guard play from the beginning of the year to the end of the year has improved dramatically.
And I didn't know till earlier this year, I was talking to Aubrey in a game at Litchfield, and I asked, so how many of those Ruperts are your sisters? She said, all of them. I said, oh. So I would imagine they had quite the backyard battles.
Yeah, I bet they did. You have Maddie and Lainey are pretty similar in their style and stuff, but Aubrey's a little bit stronger, but they all can all shoot is one thing they've got, so I bet they have some good horse games in their driveway.
Those could last for a long time. Turn the lights on, Mom. Yeah. We're not done yet. Brett Tekin, you guys will, of course, be at the Carlinville Regional. You get a quarterfinal game, and that just kind of speaks to the conference that you play in. Co-champion of your league, and you're in a regional quarterfinal.
Yeah, we got seeded six, which, I mean, looking at when the seedings came out and everything, that was probably about right where we needed to be, which means we play a quarterfinal game. And that can be good and bad. I mean, you can go and you don't take anything for granted, and you get a little used to the floor before the semifinal. But if you go and you think you got it easy, North Mac can sneak up and get you. So we got to be ready to play Monday, and that'll give us a chance to get some of these girls' experience in the postseason.
And I don't know if this is how you and your team will look at it, but to me, this North Mac game has a similar feel to the Vandalia game, which is, this is a team and a game you should win, but as we found out with Vandalia, if you don't show up and play, you won't win.
Exactly. I hope and think the girls learned a lot from that Vandalia game, that you can't just show up. You got to be ready to play every single night. And really, other than maybe the modern-day game, our defense since that Vandalia game has been just terrific. We've been playing very good defense. We held a good Pena team to 36 points last week. Pius saw 41 last night, only gave up 14 points in the second half. So as long as we go out and play the defense we've been playing, even if we're not shooting as well offensively, you can manage.
I think you've had a number of deep postseason runs. Obviously, you've made it to the state tournament on two separate occasions. Just generally speaking, overall, talk about just the memories that get made during this time, and you have to enjoy the ride, don't you?
Oh, you do. It definitely. Whenever you're talking about every game could be your last of the season, and whether you're seniors or whatever you are and stuff, just so much focus and emphasis gets put on the postseason, and you don't forget those. They stick with you more so than the regular season games, because you always got another one then. But whenever you get the finality of possibly ending your season, you just kind of remember those times a little bit more. And if you do make a postseason run, generally there's a couple things that fall your way along the line, or something goes your way, you remember those two, but you do have to enjoy it, because they don't come all the time.
No, they don't. Brett Tekin, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll see you next week, and best of luck.
All right, thank you.
Brett Tekin, the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers. And Sean Belent, you know how it goes. The quest to get to the state tournament, whether it's boys, girls, 1A, 4A, it is such a fun trek to go on, and it is memories for a lifetime.
Those bus rides, the sound, the feel, the euphoria, the sense that, some people may knock the whole bandwagon concept, but that thought of watching a movement grow and the sense we're all in it together, it's a beautiful thing.
And the deeper the postseason goes, it gets like that scene from Hoosiers where you just got the long single file of headlights from a small town rolling to the side of the next game, and it adds something different when you've got a packed gymnasium like you get in the postseason.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and I hated this, and I hate to bring pro sports into the conversation. The one thing I hated about the Blues run to the Stanley Cup was hearing about Gloria, 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 and let's talk about all of the struggles and disappointments over the years. I realize maybe a 20-year-old can't relate, and maybe the high schoolers themselves don't have all of the disappointments in their memory bank, but with the community, they can remember like the losing on the buzzer beater shot, and they think of all the disappointments. Maybe they as a player suffered the disappointments, and the whole community rallies around these kids, and then that moment when you break through, that's special.
Well, I still remember as a kid watching Steve Yzerman score from the blue line. Oh. Thinking early in double overtime against Grand Rapids, flipped off the TV just in disgust, like,
oh man.
Come on. But it makes the triumphs all the more sweet.
Absolutely, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I know I mentioned the Westland State title, and boy, they had some great moments, and whether it's a coach getting hit with a tee or just those one shot or one dribble off the, I think there was the Vandalia sectional, a kid from St. Elmo dribbled the basketball off his foot with 25 seconds left, and it's like, oh, this kid's the GOAT. We've got it. We're going to super sectionals.
Yeah.
And then he hits like a 35-foot shot at the buzzer.
That's right there what makes sports great.
Oh, yeah. So instead of being the guy 20 years later, yeah, you're the guy who cost it over in St. Elmo, the guy who cost us the chance to go to state, he's instead the hero.
That's exactly right.
And boy, that shot, it was just like a movie. In slow motion. No. You can see he had the GPS lined up before there was GPS, and it was.
Well, that's like the Jeremy May shot for Staunton back in 1993 when they went on to win the state tournament. The last true Cinderella we'll ever have in the state, by the way, because with the four classes, you're never going to get a small school like Staunton beating a Chicago school like Hales Franciscan, a true Cinderella. But that was the deal. Double overtime over there at Eastern Illinois. They were done. I mean, they were left on the side of the road, they're finished, and I'll be darned if they don't come back and win it. Jeremy May with a miraculous shot at the buzzer to force the extra session, and the rest, they say, is history.
That is something, and when you see a team lose on a boat, I enjoy the exhilaration of the team that wins, but you just see the sheer emotion. Maybe even it's more clear when you see the team that's beaten on the buzzer beater. And, I mean, they hit the floor like a plane that just lost gas and dropped out of the sky.
You put so much into it. And then when the realization hits that It's over. It's
I didn't know what hit me. Like I mean, weird analogy, but like Oswald getting shot by Ruby. It's like, what? That just happened?
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of shock to the system. It's like, what? They're not, I mean, it's just too much to process in one moment. It's like, wait a minute. We were ready to get the champagne and now it's over.
That, you know, that's always the worst thing too. When they got the champagne in the locker room, get it out of here. Get it out of here. We got to play tomorrow.
Pronto. Burn the championship shirts with our logo on it.
That's John Belin. I'm Tim Mize. This is Sports Saturday. We need to get to one more break. When we come back, conversation with Greenville head coach Colin Dothaker when Sports Saturday returns. And we're happy to be joined on Sports Saturday right now by Greenville head basketball coach Colin Dothaker. And Colin, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And hey, this is an exciting time because postseason play is just about set.
Hey, it's always a good time to talk basketball. And as you said, it should be the most exciting time of the year. So let's get it.
Well, let's take a look back first at the game you just played on Thursday. Your co-conference champions, which that is a great accomplishment. But man, you guys had an opportunity for more.
Yeah, it was a little, upsetting that we didn't get it outright. That was our mindset before the game, and obviously Carlinville had a lot to play for. You know, if they lost, they would have had no conference champs. So, it's just and they came out and beat us, and I was just a little disappointed with the way we played and the way we, kind of shot away from some big moments. But Carlinville got it, and they deserve the tie, just like Tana and Hillsboro do.
I mean, this league is so tough night in, night out. So much defensive intensity throughout the league that if you get back on your heels early in a game, sometimes it's tough to get reestablished.
Oh, absolutely. And teams play different types of defenses too, which is great because you get to see a lot of different things. But as you said, we got down 7-0 to Carlinville and just kind of knocked us right in the mouth. And we were able to, come back in that second quarter. But after that, Carlinville defense just kind of took us out we wanted to do, and we couldn't make enough shots.
You mentioned the different types of defense. You guys play that 2-3 zone. Not a lot of people see that, and when you play that as a primary defense, it really does give you a good amount of advantages.
Well, we've got Megan Holloman, who's 6'4", in the paint, and she's, one of the main reasons why we decided to kind of commit to this full-time is it's hard to replicate, like you said, what we do defensively. In the team's practice, teams don't really have a 6'4 girl that has 500 block shots in the team that they can use on the scout team. We just feel like we have some athleticism that we can kind of extend and get the pressure. And just knowing that, if you get beat off the dribble, which we don't want to happen, but if you do, that you have someone that's going to, at least deter a shot. So, we just feel like we've had a lot of success with it. Obviously there are times where, things don't work. I mean, you could say that about any type of defense you do, but we really like the way that we're playing defense right now.
And, Colin, I've had a number of people ask me, is that Holloman girl really 6'4"? I said, yeah, that's not a program height. That's actual height.
Yeah, we get that a lot until, sometimes the other team's coach is a former player or something walks up and meets your eye to eye. And she's like, okay, yeah, she's 6'4".
Talking with Colin Dothaker here on Sports Saturday. And, Colin, obviously we all know the season you had last year. You lost a lot of talent, but you had a lot coming back. So expectations coming into this year, have you met them, exceeded them? Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Like you said, we broke a program record with 30 wins last year, losing the sectional championship to Hillsboro, but brought back Megan Holloman and Riley Pickett as starters, which, anybody would take those two to start a year with. And then we had Hannah Simpson and Natalie Iberg, who played a lot of minutes for us off the bench. So, kind of expectations were that we wanted to win conference, so we can check that one off the box. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to get back to winning a regional, and we host a sectional. So those were kind of our goals. And we played two tournaments throughout the year. We got third to start the year with at Columbia. We lost in the last second shot to Marquette in the semis. Then we won the Lebanon Christmas tournament. So, not checking all the boxes that we've hit. We lost a lot of games early. Of our 8 losses, I think 5 of them were early. In all super close games to good teams. Our assistant coach just figured out the other day that of our 8 losses, I think we lost by an average of 5 points. So we had a lot of troubles and, tribulations early in the year that I feel like has made us better, help us to win bigger games down the stretch. And so, like you said, we had big expectations. I think the community maybe had big expectations for us. We're all thinking, oh my gosh, you had 30 wins last year. What are you going to do this year? And I think that was hard for the kids early. Especially if they lost a couple of games, but they've really rebounded and bounced back. And I know that they're really hungry to get back to our home floor when we host the sectional.
And you guys will be at the Carlisle Regional. You'll get either the Southwestern or the Carlisle winner. Just kind of your thoughts on your postseason seed and your draw.
Yeah, I would venture to say that if PISL were to win that quarterfinal game, that we've got one of the toughest semifinal matchups in the area.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like PISL has a load of talent. They got the Hopkins girls inside and the Smith girl on the outside and a couple other nice guards around her. We played them in a close game in December and beat them on our home floor. So it's going to be a tough matchup for us. Most likely Bree Central, whom we beat by 17, but I know that Coach Reeder does a great job with his kids, and I think both games are probably going to go down to the wire, and that's the way it's supposed to be in the postseason time, and we're looking forward to the challenge.
And the South Central Conference, I mean, it gets you prepared for postseason play year in, year out. We had the 5 20-win teams last year, 4 conference champions this year, and I mean, you can take this league and you can put it up against any conference that you want, and top to bottom, it's going to stack with anybody.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a tribute to all the coaches that put in a lot of time and a lot of effort. And as we talk about, just doing things a little bit different, throw something that the teams maybe not see. And we just have a lot of talent. Whatever it is, I feel like all the teams at the top of the conference, even the middle of the conference, have some really nice players. And again, like you said, the goal of the conference should be challenging. And then, you know, as you said, prepare you for the postseason. So we're fortunate to be in a good conference. I know some teams, don't have that luxury. But we like that kind of playing for something during the year gives you something to gear up for before the postseason.
All right. Colin Dolthager, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and best of luck along the line.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
All right. That's Colin Dolthager, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, one of 4 conference champions in the South Central. Greenville, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Pena all share the conference crown. And for Hillsboro and Carthenville, they are both headed to the Carthenville Regional. Hillsboro will play North Mac in a quarterfinal on Monday. If the Toppers get the win, they will face Carthenville in the semis on Wednesday. For Pena, they are headed to the Newton Regional. That is part of the Paris Sectional. Pena has a bye into the semifinals. They will get the winner between Mount Carmel and Robinson. That will be a Tuesday semifinal in Newton. And for Greenville, they are off to the Carlisle Regional. Comets have a bye into the semifinal where they will get a potential date with Southwestern in the semis. It'll be the Birds and Carlisle in a quarterfinal in Carlisle on Monday. So could wind up with 2 South Central semifinals in the region with Carthenville, Hillsboro, Greenville, Southwestern. We'll see how that goes. And Sean Blint, you know exactly how it works when you get in to postseason play. No matter the level, but we're talking high school here, got to have a good draw. And you can't just make the assumption, well, you know, we're the better seed, so we're going to win. It's like when you're filling out the NCAA bracket. If you just pick all the best seeds, you're going to be in last place real fast.
Oh, yeah. There's only so much you can read by those little numbers and your prospects.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right, because at the end of the day, they are just numbers that mean nothing. How are you playing now? Some teams peak early. Some teams peak late, and so often you see a team that has a bigger number by their name, but they're hot at the right time, and all of a sudden they're knocking off 1 seeds. They're beating 2 seeds, and they're in the state tournament.
Yeah, there's not much that a win in October is going to do for you, or I should say November, when you're sitting there in March. It's all about what's been going on in February, March, and the lead-up to madness.
Gotta love the madness, and it will get underway on Monday night. We'll have a triple header of regional quarterfinal action on FM 106. Litchfield, Pittsfield live at 6. Hillsboro, North Mac live at 7:30. And then the 1A regional from Nokomis on Monday night has Lincolnwood taking on Sandoval. It's a 7:00 game, broadcast time 9:00 on WUSMI FM 106. We'll stream all 3 at WUSMIRadio.com. And of course, for the Lancers, their first girls basketball season in 35 years. And the evolution of girls basketball over the last 4-plus decades has been about as great as any one thing over that same period of time.
Wow. I mean, I know in my years in, not far from here, over in Taylorville, they really built a great feeder program there in the 90s. And to watch the difference and you know, what doing a college game, I call UIS games, and you can still see there's greater balance. you still see on occasion, you see the woman who doesn't quite square up the shot, hasn't been coached to, on the, solidly on the fundamentals, but by my word, in 40 years, I mean, the improvement in ball handling, moving up the court, and, you know, the transition game is just better and better all the time.
And, I mean, athletically, there are big-time athletes on the girls' basketball scene now. Not that that wasn't maybe, I'm not saying there wasn't athletes back in the 80s, but there's a lot more of them consistently across the board. You see it now in girls' hoops, and it's just, it's fun. It's fun to watch because girls' basketball around here is so good. Terry used to always talk about the Route 16 corridor, that you find Route 16, you just draw a line straight across, and that is some of the best basketball played in the entire state. It was true then. It's true now. And you're mentioning about feeder programs. You know, Southwestern's one of the first teams I remember around here that had down in the low levels, third grade, fourth grade. And that's the norm now. And I was thinking about this last night, Sean, when I was in Carlin and Ville had their youth games last night. So they had the third and fourth grade teams played at halftime of the JV game. Fifth and sixth grade teams played at halftime of the varsity game. And, you know, 20 years ago, if you had a junior high team, you were doing good. Now, if your town is starting playing any sport when they're in seventh grade or sixth grade, you're behind the eight ball because now second grade teams, third grade teams. And these don't have to be traveling teams that travel all over the earth to play. You can play local towns just like you do in the high school season, but you're getting these kids involved early, get those fundamentals established.
Well, it's outstanding because there's no doubt, and you talked about especially going back to the 80s, and it's clear many, many administrators, many athletic directors, many school boards just mailed it in. We'll just have a program, and we'll find somebody who probably we don't really care if they can coach. We'll get this teacher a little extra money, and they'll go off and handle a clipboard. And, you know, if they're 3-21, we really don't care. And that's still out there.
It is.
But you see it a lot less.
And it really, the schools that have that mentality now, they are getting left behind at a very fast pace. Like, if you're not prepared to do what's necessary to win this day and age, you're going to get passed by.
No doubt about it.
That's how it's going to be.
No doubt about it. And we've seen better coaches and, as you mentioned, you talk about the feeder programs more, maybe 30 years ago. Well, I don't really see the point in teaching my daughter how to play basketball. What's the point of that? And I think we've seen, you know, not just the evolution at the institutional level, but the evolution at the parent level.
No doubt about it. And we've been fortunate to see some great individual athletes. Of course, you got Abby Brockmeyer and Sammy Batouche both playing at the collegiate level now, and I mean, you can go back. It's a long list of great basketball players that have come out of the South Central Conference. And you think back to the battles that Hillsborough had with Pena when Hope Schulte was there, Olivia Latt, and Pena. I mean, just some classic duels that we were fortunate to witness over the last number of years. And we'll see what this postseason has in store. And as you look at this Greenville sectional, it seems to be Pleasant Plains is to lose. We were just talking about you can't make any assumptions on that, but
that's for sure.
Boy, Plains is good. They are so good. Losing in triple overtime to Hillsborough in the sectional last year, I would suspect, is going to be just a little more motivation for Plains this year.
They just seem to generate good programs. That little humble school outside of Springfield, whether it was a baseball state championship team or two, or they've had some pretty good years in a relatively young football program, And, boy, the girls getting it done on the hardwood.
It's been fun to watch.
Oh, man.
Hey, thanks to Darren Denis for joining us this morning. Also, Brett Teakin and Colin Dothager here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And, of course, thanks to John Blank with Shelter Insurance for coming in and talking about cleats for kids. Stop by John's office, 300 South State Street in Litchfield, whether you want to drop off some athletic shoes or pick up some athletic shoes. John Blank is there for you at 300 South State Street in Litchfield. Thanks to Jennifer Graham. She produced Sports Saturday today. Sean Balint, it was fun, and hey, we'll do it again next week. How about
that? Sounds good, my friend.
All right, for Sean, I am Tim. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Hillsboro at Nokomis tonight, live at 7:30 here on FM 106.